Welcome to Transition State.
me. I ain't got what you need. My love has never been seen. I ain't got what you need. I'm full of myself on me. I ain't got what you need. My love has never been seen. I ain't got what you need. I'm full of myself on me. I ain't got what you need. My love has never been seen. What you learn to do
before I'm frozen in the cold, before we're buried in the snow. You're stuck in child, there's something wrong, and I'm too old to know. You're suffering, but can't be helped. You're stubborn, bored, but crying out for something.
Gets more difficult to find what's to ask a question. What makes a reflection?
Once upon a time, you and I used to shine. so fine, like a cast from a story. Never really felt sorry. Had no heels on no backs when Little Red Riding Hood went Robin Hood on Robinson's wife. Got caught on a trail, picking up fruit, making out some Mrs. Robinson's laugh. But was the joy really, really real? You speak of me like I'm a toy from a Happy Meal. A Jeep, if you lose me, pun for the run. Gonna come with a smile on the flavor of the month. Pins you sticking in my skin when bitching, I just itching now. Who do down long cold is striking? You do all the stitching now.
Yummy. Welcome to Transition State Radio, fans. What the fuck is up? We just heard Random Recipe, and wasn't that amazing? The track was Beautiful Connection. Check my mic, a 1, 2. How am I doing with my levels? Can you hear me? Hear me now. I hope I'm coming in okay out there, radio fans. Anyway, this is the show devoted to pharmaceutical awareness and good-ass music. So we just heard... we heard Recipe because RX is an abbreviation for the Latin word of recipe. And before that, we heard Good for Grapes, which is amazing music. Before that, we heard Wake Owl with Candy, obviously a reference to cocaine, which is available at any good pharmacy as a local anesthetic. And before that, we heard Corb Lund, which was more good-ass music. That Corb Lund you might have recognized from an earlier album, but it was re-recorded all live in one room, all the band all together. So, didn't you think that was pretty cool? Anyway, radio fans, you're tuned into a good spot tonight. Don't touch that dial. We have probably the best episode of Transition State to date. We have Tian Zhang. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. TZ. Tian Zhang. In the studio with me talking pharmaceutical awareness. But first, we're going to hear some more music. Let's hear some rad band now called Alien Whale. This is Astral Projections and Suicidal Thoughts. We are back. Wasn't that a rock ride? Check my mic, go 1, 2. Sorry, but you have to deal with the old analog equipment in the CITR studios. Anyway, earlier this week I sat down with Tian Zhang, one of the premier pharmacists in the city and my personal friend. I asked her about the nature of reality and pharmaceutical awareness. Let's hear what she had to say. Okay, so I'm here in studio with Tian Zhang.
Hi.
Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Tian. I am a recent grad of UBC Pharmacy. I'm a practicing pharmacist working in a small pharmacy in Season Village. And yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what got you interested in pharmacy, like, in the first place?
I was interested in pharmacy because my grandpa was quite sick since I was young. So being the only person that speaks English in the family, I used to take him to the regular trips to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist has always been really helpful. And I would always look in and I would be like, wow, that's a really nice work environment. And when I had to do a project in grade 10, I realized that pharmacy is a very, you know, it's a good job, it's very stable, and it gives you the ability to talk to patients, interact with them, build a relationship with them, and also to use the knowledge that you learn from sciences, from chemistry, from everything. Yeah.
So you basically decided, like, when I was a teenager?
Yeah.
And you went straight from high school into UBC.
Into science and into pharmacy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Pharmaceutical practice?
Yeah.
Art or science?
Definitely a blend of both. Definitely. Because if you don't have I guess when it comes to art, it's really the art of communication. If you don't have the ability to communicate your knowledge to someone, then you're not really being a good, effective pharmacist. And in the science side, if you don't have the knowledge, then of course, you know, even if you're the best communicator in the world, you won't be able to tell them anything, right? So definitely a blend of both.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you just graduated this year, like,
yes,
6 months ago.
6 months ago, oh my gosh.
And you've been working in the workforce as a grown-up pharmacist.
Yeah.
So how is it? What's your favorite thing about...
I really like the people that I work with. I have a really, really nice team that looks after each other. And the other thing is I really, really appreciate the patience that the customers have given me since I started working. I mean, as a new pharmacist, you're always kind of like a really nervous to approach patients, and sometimes mistakes are bound to happen. And I'm just really thankful that our customers are very patient in putting up with that. So, yeah, I think for me the biggest thing is the relationships you develop with everybody that you work with.
Relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything you miss about being in school?
I miss the freedom of being able to travel, like, during the summer breaks. I think when you, as a grown-up, you kind of have to budget your vacations and, like, be responsible, and you can't just be like, oh, I can only do this once. Because as a student, you can. You're like, oh, I'm still a student, I can do this. But when you're in the workforce, you have to be responsible for, you know, your job, your family, and everything. So, yeah, I miss that. I miss being, like, without too much responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If you say you were sort of the boss of all pharmacy in Canada.
Okay.
Is there anything that you would change?
Definitely. I think there's ongoing change in the field of pharmacy. I think one of the biggest things I would change is I would really try to standardize the pharmacies if I could, and not through, like, monetary kind of way. I think a lot of pharmacies right now are still very script-oriented. They're still focused on bringing in, like, a high volume to their own stores. But I feel like if I had the choice, I would, you know, definitely give more overlap if I had the freedom to, like, in the ideal world, you know, give more overlap to each pharmacist so they have the time to do what they're trained to do, as opposed to one person being split in four ways and doing all the jobs in 1 hour and not having time to really interact with patients and help them out with really important things.
So stop focusing, or focus less on maximizing the number of scripts.
Yeah.
And
more on building relationships, more on the cognitive side of pharmacy. Like, in UBC, we're trained to be very clinical. And, you know, a lot of the times I think it's, you gain such satisfaction from helping a patient out with a, you know, a drug therapy problem. But unfortunately, in a lot of the high volume stores, they just don't have the luxury to do that, you know?
Can you think of a way, like, to actually make that happen? Like, what could we change? Incentive structure?
I think, in my mind, I think we would benefit from a union. You know, if we're more unionized, we would have one united voice to represent all of us. And so, the employers would not feel like they're it's within their power to delegate tasks. And I feel like we should really stand up for our profession in that way.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you some science questions, okay?
Sure.
Don't worry. You won't be tested.
Okay.
Okay, what's your favorite drug?
My favorite drug? Properties or name?
Yeah, drug name, just name.
Drug name. I like the name amitriptyline.
Amitriptyline.
Because every time when there's like a game, you ask someone to spell amitriptyline and no one can spell it right.
Okay.
It's always like, is it spelled with an I or a Y or like two L's? Everybody screws up on that.
Can you spell it right now?
Oh my gosh. I can't. I can't spell it. It's too complicated.
It's hard. There's I's and Y's.
Yeah, there's like two I's and one Y, and there's like different places you can put the L in.
Okay, what's your sort of favorite drug for like... You get a script for this and you're like, oh, good.
Somebody's finally prescribing this, right? So far, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of drugs I don't like seeing prescribed, but drugs that I like seeing prescribed, I don't know. I don't have a favorite as of yet, but there's definitely drugs where it's like, ooh, that should not be, you know, prescribed anymore.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, you know, like the rosiglipton, like the ones that have come out with like some pretty obvious evidence that they are outdated at this point.
Really?
I don't like seeing glyburide too much.
Glyburide?
Yeah.
Rosiglitazone?
Rosiglitazone. Did I say that? Rosiglitazone. Yeah.
They're like sort of anti-diabetic.
Yes.
Oh,
the one
really?
That had edema, the pulmonary edema.
I hadn't even heard that yet.
I think you learned that later on in third year.
Okay,
yeah,
good to know.
Pioglitazone.
My drug that I have a huge problem is warfarin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You feel like it's too much monitoring?
I just feel like it's this drug that like can't get along with anybody.
Wait, that's
and it
true.
Acts like it's everybody else's fault when it's like, hello, warfarin.
Yeah, that's right.
Has all these side effects, all these interactions.
Yeah.
It's super narrow therapeutic index.
That's true. But I feel like, you know, warfarin is almost a medication that gives pharmacists its meaning, you know, in the profession.
Yeah.
I feel like if all the drugs don't interact, then we don't have, you know, as much responsibility to live up to. Whereas if I see a patient on warfarin, then definitely, like, it's at least 10 minutes of counseling on warfarin alone. And if anything else that they want to start on, like, you got to go through all of it. And I feel like they really appreciate that. And it really gives our job its meaning, right? Yeah.
Do you ever do any, like, pharmacogenomic testing?
I don't.
Okay.
I think it's really new still. I mean, I would love to do it, but I just don't think, like, our store has the capacity to carry something like that yet.
Right. Yeah, it's still emerging, I think.
It is, yeah. But it's really exciting because, you know, you see a lot of really strange reactions to medications, and at the end of the day, you just feel like, oh, I can't blame it on anything else. You know, it's not a common drug effect. It's not, you know, nothing I've ever heard of, so it must be your genes. But there's no way to find out unless we actually put you through the pharmacogenomics test, right?
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully 10 years from now, it'd be more common. And, you know, we would be more, I think pharmacists will be more sensitive or open to the idea that there's just some drugs that some patients can't tolerate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as, like, functional groups, what's your favorite?
Oh, my God.
Chemical moiety.
Do I even remember them? That was 1 year ago. Oh, my God.
Acetyl.
Can I just go with phenol because you said it?
Oh, dear. Okay.
That, to be honest, like, that was one of the most traumatizing things I had to remember.
Medicinal chemistry?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Medicinal chemistry. And you got that coming up, too.
I love medicinal chemistry.
You do.
Okay. Do you have a favorite element?
element. Let's see. Do I have a favorite element? Titanium.
Oh, really?
I think titanium was because... It was only because my friends kept calling me titanium when I was in high school. Because my name is Tian. And then they called me... And I think titanium... For some reason, they just called me titanium throughout high school. And I thought it was like, okay. So it must be a cool element, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad...
Yeah.
Name to be called. It's like super strong and lightweight.
And you see me walking, you're like, that doesn't fit.
Okay, I could be wrong about this, but on the periodic table, is it like silver, gold, titanium?
I'm not sure.
I think the right underneath.
Is that
each
right?
Other, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's a pretty cool family. I'd take that if I was you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I know people are really into titanium jewelry nowadays because it's good and sturdy, but. Yeah, that's my favorite element. I should have said, like, gold or something, but...
Yeah, maybe titanium is better than gold, though.
Okay.
Okay. Do you feel like, as a practicing pharmacist, mm-hmm. there's something that maybe the degree mm-hmm. didn't prepare... Obviously, there'd be stuff that it couldn't prepare you for, but maybe mm-hmm. something that they could have, but they missed?
I think it's definitely the small things, like... more of like common sense, but it's not really common sense if nobody has ever gone through that with you, right? Like when you get to the practice setting, there's definitely a lot of things they haven't taught you in school, like, you know, how to like calculate for cost of prescriptions, how to you know, speak with customers when somebody else made a mistake in the pharmacy, right? And how to fix your own mistakes, and also how to be flexible as a pharmacist, because you can't there's certain things that are written in stone, but certain things you really should be flexible on, right? For instance, like I had patients that would come in and would be like, I can't afford this medication, and then, you know, you can't just send them away because they need the medication. So you're like, okay, let's look into other possibilities, let's try to see if you can get a special authority, let's see if the doctor's open to giving you some samples to try on. So I feel like instead of sending them away and telling them, oh well, you can't afford it, then I can't help you, you know, I think it's better if we were trained for that in school, where it's like, let's look into different alternatives that we can help you. Because it's, you know, half the time patients come in and it's not even a therapy problem. It's a financial problem. It's, you know, the fact that they can't tolerate a drug. Things like that, I feel like that's what we missed out on in school.
Yeah, sadly there's no, like, actual patient interaction.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a hard thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. I guess in third year there's more. I know the labs try really hard to prepare you for it, but there's just not enough time. Like with all the courses, you just don't have enough time to do all of that. But I guess that's why a lot of us take up jobs on the side to get exposed to that before we become full-fledged pharmacists.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's good for part one.
Okay.
Now let's hear some music.
Time we won't see you out like a song that's played for. Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here,
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody.
God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show. Wednesdays, 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Brother.
cows, it might be steamed clams dipped with tiny forks into individual dishes of melted butter with a Caesar salad made from a recipe out of Life magazine. Her brother was grossed out by the clams, repulsed by anchovies, and annoyed he was being denied whatever he suspected was normal. He wanted to be normal.
Okay, now we're going to transition from science and pharmacy into music.
Perfect.
So, do you like music?
I do.
Okay, you listen to music what percent of the time?
I listen to music on my way to work when I go home. So, I would say probably 30-40% of my day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
What do you like to listen to?
I like to listen to mainly jazz. I also really been enjoying the James Brown songs because I watched the movie Get On Up and I was like, wow, this guy has amazing talents. So I've been really enjoying the album that the movie released. It was him singing and I think it was just revamped a little bit.
Huh, I haven't heard of that.
You should check it out.
Get On Up. It's a movie.
It's a movie, yeah. Okay. And they actually had James Brown singing in it, so...
Yeah, we had Dr. Albin on, and he requested Hot Pants by James Brown.
Oh, nice! Okay. See, his music transcends generations.
Yeah, it's just good music.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Do you ever play music or perform?
I play the piano when I was in grade four, up until grade four. But then I decided that it's not really what I like to do, so I decided to just go ahead and sing. Instead of, you know, playing instruments. When I was in high school, I was in, like, choir, vocal jazz, and when in university, we had several group of friends that would, like, come together and play some music. So it was never anything too professional, but it was always a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what did you sing? Like...
I sang jazz Disney? Music.
Oh, okay.
My friends sang Disney. But obviously, if you're playing with a bunch of friends, a lot of them would be, like, requesting for pop music, you know? Like, what's, like, Adele or what's his name? Bruno Mars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think Adele is a good singer?
Yeah, for sure. I think she's a very talented singer. Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, okay. I just ask because sometimes, as sort of a non-aficionado, you think somebody's amazing.
Yeah.
But then somebody who actually knows is like, oh, no, that's crap.
Okay. I think there's definitely singers where I don't really like to listen to, but Adele's not one of them.
Do you have a favorite singer?
My favorite singer. That's a good question. I really like Michael Bublé. And I really, really like John Legend.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not... Yeah. I mean, John Legend is not really jazz, but I love his voice and... almost all of his songs. I would say like 80 to 90% of his songs.
Okay, let me ask you a question that it might be hard to answer, but do you know or do you ever think about like what it is you like about music? For example, for me, this took me a long time to realize, but the very like first 20 years of my life, I was very like focused on lyrics.
Oh, okay.
It took me a long time to get into jazz or instrumental, even dance music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no words.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't about really the voice. I used to like punk music.
Oh, okay.
It was just about the words that they were saying.
Oh, I see.
So do you know what it is like that draws you into music? Is it the voice?
I think it's the voice.
Yeah.
It's the voice and the tune and the whole, the song itself. I think I'm the exact opposite. Like, I'm not so much of a lyric person. I can listen to songs in any language, and I would feel like this is a good song. But when you actually understand the lyrics, you're like, oh, it kind of like, yeah. So I'm not a lyric person. I'm the exact opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the state that it puts your mind in. Like when I wasn't going, when I was going to school and I was waking up for 8 o'clock classes, I would put on really loud, like Black Eyed Peas, and you know, or what are they called? You know, the people that sang Party Anthem?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what they're
called.
LMFAO? Yeah, yeah, because they would just like wake me up, right? So I think, okay, depending on the mood that you're in,
it almost like just connects into your like.
Yeah. It gets your day going and
your whole
You know, when I was like younger, I've always imagined, like when I grew up, I would have a place of my own, come home from work and just lie there and listen to music. And I felt like, well, that would be like awesome. But now it's like, well, I would go home and listen to music, but it would be a lot more things to do on the side. But I think music is a good thing for you to kind of think about other things when you're listening to it more. Like I don't know if you listen to music when you're studying, but
yes.
Yeah, so I feel like it does put your mind in a state where you
certain can, things, yeah.
Yeah,
Certain stuff will distract me.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
certain stuff will just, yeah,
put
keep
you in
me
that.
Going, sort
yeah,
of.
Exactly.
Okay, then do you think it's sort of accurate to think of music as a drug?
I think so, yeah. I think so. If we're really looking at, like, necessary effectiveness, safety, and adherence, I think, yeah, it's safe. For the most part.
I agree.
I
think it, you know, it can affect your central nervous system.
Yeah.
And that can basically affect you. You can have...
Get the serotonin going.
You actually, like, feel good. And I think at some level it's, like, some endocrinology going on.
Probably. Very likely. Yeah.
Okay. Then, okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
True or false?
Uh-huh.
You can do anything with music.
Anything with music. Like, anything. I think, yeah. I think you can. I think it's like you can influence a lot of people with music, you know, and you can, you know, send very powerful messages through music. Yeah, anything is possible with music.
True or false? You can cure cancer with music.
Cure cancer. If you're talking about like a state of mind that cancer patients have, I think it could definitely like help them overcome that, like the fear and the but I don't think it therapeutically cures cancer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, plus you can bombard certain tumors with audio waves and that works.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they do that.
Oh, that's so cool. I know that.
I am, yeah, I'm on a mission to sort of prove two things. Music is a drug and you can do anything with music.
Oh, okay.
Not anything.
Yeah.
But sort of maybe anything.
I think that's a good message to send out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio when I'm at work because it's always on. So when I go home, I don't listen to the radio anymore.
So only at work?
Yeah. I feel like I have a fear for that kind of music now because whenever I think about radio, I associate it with work. And then I get really,
dear,
you know, like nervous. And but probably when I ease into my position, I will be able to listen to more radio. I know my boyfriend does all the time. Like when I get into his car, he's always listening to the radio. And it's just how people have different, you know, habits.
Yeah, radio. So what I'm curious about is, what's your like ultimate musical experience? Like for some people, I think it's seeing the band live.
Okay.
Or for some people, you know, it's their iPod and it's a very like personal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people it would be like a festival where it's more about the atmosphere.
Yeah. I think for me it's about I associate different songs that I like with different places that I want to go travel to. So I think for me it's more like going traveling, listening to that music at the same time. It's kind of silly, but I feel like that would be a very cool thing to do, you know, just like walk around the streets with the headphones on and, you know, being in that place that you've always wanted to be when you're listening to that song.
Okay, that's a very cool idea. Do you have an example? Like, so say you're going to Beijing, you listen to some...
I don't know about Beijing, but for me it's more like unexplored territories or places that I've had good associations with. You know, like if I'm listening to, I don't know, like John Legend, I usually think of New York in the winter, listening to his slower songs.
Is that just the mood that it evokes?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Were you in New York listening to it?
No, I think it's the, like, well, I was in New York and I was listening to it. That is one point. But the other one is that I do like the ambience it gives. And I always associate it with that kind of a city. So, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, I know the name John Legend, but I haven't really given it a listen.
Oh, yeah? You should really. You should check him out. I was introduced to him like 2 years ago, and ever since then, I couldn't stop listening to him.
In person?
Oh, no.
Oh, just the music. Okay. Okay. You never know.
I wish.
Everybody comes into the pharmacy.
Yeah, that's true. You meet a whole range of people. Yeah.
Okay, do you have any musical requests right now?
While we're at it, why don't we do John Legend?
Okay.
That'd be okay?
Any
How about
track?
Save Room.
Save Room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's Save Room by John Legend on CITR 101.9. Okay, now we're going... And we're back. That was John Legend with Save Room.
And before that, we heard from a band called Mecha Normal. The track was called Normal. And before that, we heard from Cousins. The album is The Halls of Wickwire. The track was Singing, and that was dedicated to their Grammy. So that's all for this week, radio fans. I'd like to say a special thank you to Tian Zhang for gracing us with her presence. Sorry, I've been drinking. I guess we'll see you next week. Until then, just stay pharmaceutically aware and keep listening to rock-ass music. We're going to hear one more track. This is Apples by Delhi to Dublin. Live, bitches.
It's the last track of the night.
Thank you so much.